Okay, today is April 28th, the 4th of Iyar, Yom HaZikaron. And we are on the fourth part of Perek Yotet of Shmuel Bet. We're not finishing it. We are going to do a very long Shem Mishmuel. Shem Mishmuel is Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Avraham Borenstein. He was the son of the Admor of Sukhachev and was born in 1856 in Kutsk. He was his father's right hand and taught in the Sukhachev Yeshiva, and he became the Rebbe in 1910 upon his father's demise, and he died in 1926. Okay, so this is his parish, and you can see from the beginning that it's on Parshat Vayeshev. So this is the Parsha where Yosef is sold by, it was Yehuda's idea. So he says the roots of David and Shaul and Yeravam and Rechavam that we've been speaking about are all rooted in Parshat Vayeshev with the selling of Yosef. So I see there's something in the chat. Okay, I can make it full screen. Okay. There. Is that better? You can still see all my tabs open up, but okay.
Stacey, is he the famous Kutztler Rebbe that everybody thinks of when they talk about the Kutztler Rebbe?
No, he's not. But yeah, he was in Kutsk. If somebody wants to Google the Kutztler Rebbe and see when he lived, he might have been. That might have, I wonder if that was his father. I'm not sure. It's an easy Google. We'll Google at the end. Okay, so it's gonna go.
Sorry, Stacey,
Oh,
I'm not finding it on my hard sheet that I have. Is it?
it starts on page
Yosef?
five. It starts on page five of the hard sheet, the Shemishmuel, the middle or bottom of page five.
Maybe I've got the wrong sheet. Anyway, never mind. Can you send it again afterwards, just so that we have
Yeah,
it
do you want
again?
me to
Yeah.
share you on this Google Doc right now?
It's all right. I can do it on here, but I'll just have it afterwards.
Okay, great.
Thank
Okay.
you. It was just sent a few minutes ago, this before we
Yeah,
started.
I resent the hard copy a few minutes ago too.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll check there
Okay,
then.
so it's page
Thanks.
five. Okay, so you will see that I tried to translate as much as I could find the sources for of all the sources that he quotes from. And there's some things I didn't translate, like he quotes something from the Zohar that I'm not sure what it means. So there are a few things that I wasn't sure of. This is just at the top here is the reference of the pasuk that he's quoting on. So Vayachu echav lirot etzon avihem b'shchem. So his brothers went to pasture the sheep of their father in Shechem. And Rashi explains that there are dots above the word et, nakud al et. Shelohachu ela lerot et atzmam, meaning they didn't. They only went to pasture themselves, not their sheep. And he explains like why would they have to leave their father's property? I'm sure it was quite sustainable, and yet they went far away. So it was for selfish reasons. Okay, but he says that it. That they were tzaddikim, so they didn't really realize what they were doing. Okay, so let's start where he brings in R. And if anybody has any questions or doesn't remember what I'm referring to, please feel free to interrupt. V'nira dehine b'shas, Shabbat, Nun Vav Amud Bet, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, b'sha'a she'amar David l'mefivoshet, atav etziva techalku et hasadeh. So this is what we've been focusing on last week and this week. That Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav, that at the time that David said to Mephibosheth, when he came in what looked like complete mourning, MOURN, he didn't have any shoes on, he hadn't washed his clothes, he hadn't cut his beard or mustache, he had clearly been mourning for David throughout the entire civil war, and also outside of Jerusalem, as we saw. But David had been convinced by Tziva, his servant, that in fact he was waiting in Yerushalayim during the entire civil war because he thought that after Avshalom would have won, that nobody would want Avshalom to be king because they would see how evil he was. And they would then want to reinstate the rain.
I'm sorry, Stacey, can you just put the cursor where you are, because I can't see where you are.
Sorry, I just started, so still here. Tichalkuat
Asada.
Okay, so they would have reinstated the reign of Shaul, because they would have been so dissatisfied with the reign of David. And so he was waiting in Yerushalayim for that time. And David somehow accepted this information and told Siva that he could have all the property. And then when Mephibosheth shows up, clearly not having behaved in the way Siva claimed, and clearly having been mourning David during the entire civil war and coming just to give thanks and greet him now that he was coming back alive and successful, David then is very terse with Mephibosheth. It's very difficult to understand. And he says, you should split the field. Which, if you remember, Malbim said made sense halachically. If Tziva were like a sharecropper and working the field, then he would get half anyway. And that this is what David had intended all along when he told Tziva he could have the property. But he doesn't acknowledge Mephibosheth's state, and he doesn't seem to accept that what he had received from Tziva was indeed wrong about Mephibosheth. So at that moment in the Gemara in Shabbat, it says, Yatzta bat kol ve'amra lo rechavam ve'yoravam yechalku atamalucha. So this bat kol came out and said that Rechavam, who's the son of Shlomo, and Yeravam, who comes from Ephraim, who led the rebellion against Rechavam after he refused to lower the taxes that Shlomo had placed for good reason in order to raise funds to build the Beis HaMikdash. Rechavam refused to lower the taxes. So Yeravam then led a rebellion, and they split the kingship. And there became Yisrael in the north and Yehuda in the south. Okay, so the Shem Yishmuel then says, Ve'eno muvan ma inyan onesh zeh lezeh. How can you say that this is a proper punishment for this? That because David said to Mephibosheth that he should split the field with Tziva, that as a result of that, the entire kingship would be split between Yisrael and Yehuda? V'gam b'ma d'ipal garav v'shmuel I kibel David lashon hara o lo kibel. We saw that Gemara last week, the argument between Rav and Shmuel. Rav said that David received lashon hara, that he believed these words that were not true, that Tziva said. Whereas Shmuel said, no, he didn't receive lashon hara. He, in fact, discerned that what Tziva was saying was true, and he had legitimate reason to believe it, and it wasn't lashon hara. So that was their dispute. Ubivadai elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. So for sure, both the words of Rav and Shmuel are the words of the living God. This is, you guys probably know this Gemara where Rabbi Eliezer is fighting against, I think it's Rabban Gamliel, right? It's been made famous in the book As a Driven Leaf and other books, that Rabbi Eliezer wants to rule a certain way on this tanur shel achnai, this special type of oven, and all the rabbis say a different way, and Rabbi Eliezer says, if I'm right, then let the walls of the Beit Midrash fall down, and they do, and if I'm right, let this happen, and it happens, and clearly there's all these divine signs that Rabbi Eliezer's... wait, is that the story where this happens? I might be totally off. Okay, I'm going to stop saying... that. But in any case, there's this notion that Eile ve'eile divrei Elokim chayim, that there are many different ways to interpret the Torah, and they're all the words of the living God, but even when they contradict each other. Ve'ech yitachen zeh, and how can this be? V'niret dehine inyan shnei ha-meshichim le'atid, Mashiach ben Yosef v'Mashiach ben David. And it appears that this matter is talking about the two Mashiach, there are two Mashiachs in the future. There's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef that will come first, and Mashiach ben David that will follow him. V'nirad de Mashiach ben Yosef te'udato lechalot zar'o shel Amalek u'melchamet Gog u'magog v'kol ha'melchamot tiyana nigmarot al yado. So the purpose of the Mashiach ben Yosef is to end the entire seed of Amalek and the wars of Gog u'magog, and any other war will be finished by Mashiach Shel Yosef. So Mashiach Shel Yosef is going to be the warrior. Does anybody know offhand who's the first prototype for Mashiach Ben Yosef that fights the wars? It's Yehoshua. He comes from Ephraim. okay? And he fights the war against Amalek, but he's commanded not to completely end it. So it's through him that comes down that it will be completely ended. Kam Ramzal, that it says in the Gemara, in the Midrash, Bereshit Rabba, Ein Esav nofel, Ela biyad baneha shel Rachel. Esav is not going to fall, except for from the children of Rachel. Kamo shekatav im lo yischavum tzirai hetzon. So this is from Yirmiyahu. Therefore, hearken to the counsel of the Lord, which he advised concerning Edom, which is Esav, and his plans that he planned concerning the dwellers of the south. If the young of the flock will not drag them, if he will not make desolate their dwellings with them. Okay, so this is a prediction in Yirmiyahu of the children of Rachel defeating Edom, Esav, which is where Amalek comes from as well. V'chein kativ, lifnei Ephraim, lifanai Ephraim u'binyamin u'menasha, orat gvoratecha u'lecha l'shuata lanu. And this is from Tehillim, before Ephraim, Binyamin, and Menasha, so those are all the children of Rachel, arouse your might, and it is for you to save us. Ve'al kein, te'udat Mashiach ben Yosef, l'salek et ha'ananim ha'chashuchim ha'mastirim v'sotmim bifnei ha'or ha'loki. So the goal, the purpose of Mashiach ben Yosef is to remove the darkened clouds that hide and that block before the divine light. Ubepsikta kolzman shezaro shel Amalek be'olam, and the psikta, another midrash, tells us any time that the seed of Amalek is in the world, kivyachol panim shamala mechusim, it's as if the face of above is covered. Ne'akar zaro min ha'olam, if his seed is uprooted from the world, nitgalu ha'panim shamala, then the face of above, capital A, is revealed. Kemoshen Amar, as it's written in Yeshayahu, and the pasuk is, and the Lord shall give you scant bread and water of oppression, and your teacher shall no longer be concealed from you, and your eyes shall see your teacher. So whenever Amalek is around, we're in a time of concealment. When he's not, it's revelation. Ve'achar siluk ha-hester ve'achoshech, ya'ir or shall melech Mashiach ben David. And after this removal of the hidden and the darkness, then it will illuminate the light of the king Mashiach, the son of David. Okay, so Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, is going to remove all of these obstacles to the divine light, and then Mashiach ben David will be revealed. Kamo shekatuv, as it's written in Tehillim, v'kiso k'shemesh negdi, and his throne is like the sun before me. V'kati vayu einecha ro'ot et morecha, and behold, your eyes will see your teacher, Mashiach ben David, lo yu lo shum mechamot im hagoyim. And Mashiach ben David won't have any wars among the non-Jews, the other nations. B'kol te'udato tiyu rak lehamshich da'at Elokim ba'aretz. And his entire purpose will be only to continue to draw forth the knowledge of God in the land. U'kmo shekatov b'Yeshayahu. And it says in Yeshayahu, it shall come to pass on that day that the root of Jesse, Shoresh Yishai, which stands as a banner for peoples, to him shall the nations inquire, and his peace shall be with honor. Okay, so you can already kind of piece together in your mind where he's going, that first of all, Shaul did fight a lot of wars. And also, remember, he was from Binyamin, not Yosef. Okay, he's going to discuss that. But he failed in his war with Amalek, and David ended up in his kingship also fighting a ton of wars. So it didn't come out like that. He's going to address that. V'nireh d'ki'inyan ze haita meluchat Shaul kodem meluchat David. And according to what we read above, the kingship of Shaul came before the kingship of David. V'hakavana she'Shaul yigmor kol ha'milchamot ba'asher hu hiya mibneha shel Rachel. And the intention was that Shaul would finish all of the wars since he was from the children of Rachel. Ukmo tu'udat Mashiach ben Yosef. And it would be similar to the goal of the Mashiach ben Yosef. Ve'achar kach tofia meluchat David ha'melech dugmat Mashiach ben David. And afterwards would appear the kingship of David, the king, which is example for the Mashiach son of David, la'atid, in the future. She'yeh inyano rak lehamshich gilui ha'or ha'eloki, So in the future, Mashiach ben David, his entire matter would just be to draw forth, to continue the revelation of the divine light, v'livnot Beit HaMikdash, and to build the Beit HaMikdash. U'kamo shekatav v'Sha'ul, and like it's written in Sha'ul, and this is from Shmuel Aleph Yod Dalet, so we learned it together. So Sha'ul took the kingdom over Israel, and he waged war against his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the children of Ammon, against Edom, against the kings of Tzova, and against the Philistines. And wherever he would turn, he would cause them to tremble. So this seems like it's starting out the way the Shem Mishmuel is explaining, that Sha'ul would fight all the wars, and he would subdue everyone, all the neighbors around him, so that the next king wouldn't have to worry about anything. And if only Sha'ul had listened to the voice of God at the war with Amalek, he would have fulfilled this intention. And David wouldn't have had to fight any wars. And Yonatan, the son of Sha'ul, would have been David's second in command, kamo Mashiach ben Yosef, just like Mashiach ben Yosef, leMashiach ben David, who would be second in command to Mashiach ben David. Ukamo shamar Yonatan el David, and we actually have this in the words of Yonatan himself in one of their final meetings before Yonatan was killed with his father. Ve'ata timlocha Yisrael, you will rule over Israel. This is Yonatan talking to David. Ve'anochi ehiya lecha lemishna, and I will be your second in command. Ukamo sheyeh la'atid, Mashiach ben Yosef, Yala Mishnah le Mashiach ben David. And just like it'll be in the future, that Mashiach ben Yosef will be the second in command to Mashiach ben David. Ach, ba'asher nitkalkel inyan Sha'ul, bil Melchemet Amalek, v'nim as mimloch od al Yisrael. However, with the complete disintegration of the matter of Sha'ul in the war with Amalek, and he was sick of ruling, and Hashem got sick of him ruling over Israel, Nimsar hakol leDavid, everything was transferred to David. V'haya nitzrach lochom mechamet Hashem, v'nitacher binyan habayit ad yemei Shlomo. So now, he's saying, when he says everything transferred unto David, he's saying both the purposes of Mashiach ben Yosef and the purposes of Mashiach ben David became David's responsibility. So therefore, he would have to continue fighting the wars, and the building of the Beis HaMikdash would be delayed until Shlomo. Kedvar Hashem leDavid, like it says in Divrei HaYamim, Hashem said to David, Lo tivne bayit lishmi, ki damim rabim shafachta. You will not build the house in my name, because you have spilled much blood. So now, we really struggled with this before, like why would that preclude David from building the Beis HaMikdash? And now we understand that it had to be delayed because David now had this double purpose. He was taking on the role of Mashiach ben Yosef in fighting the wars, and therefore the building of the Beis HaMikdash couldn't come from him, but had to come from his son, who wouldn't have to deal with that. Ach, yesh lehavin, lama lo nivchar lemelech harishon mizera Yosef? So now, back to one of the other questions we asked. We need to understand why wasn't the first king chosen from the seed of Yosef? Kmo la'atid, Mashiach ben Yosef. Just like in the future, it will be Mashiach ben Yosef. It doesn't say Mashiach ben Binyamin. It's Mashiach ben Yosef. V'nivchar Sha'ul, Misheva Binyamin, bimkomo. And therefore, Sha'ul was chosen from the tribe of Binyamin in his place, in the place of whatever seed of Yosef would have been. V'nireh, Dihine mashi ravam bal v'chalel chet ha'agalim, ach she'haya adam gadol me'od. And it seems that it has to do somewhat with Yeravam, who came and he started the chet of the agalim. So we talked about it last week, that he put up two golden calves in the kingdom of Israel, even though he was a great man. Kamram Zal B'Sanhedrin, as it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and here it is in English, the verse states, and the prophet Achiah the Shilonite found him on the way, and he was clad in a new chadashah garment, and the two were alone in the field. What is taught by the phrase, in a new garment? Rav Nachman says, it was like a new garment, Just as a new garment has no imperfection, so too the Torah studies of Yeravam at that time had no imperfection. Okay, so Yeravam was a very learned, great man. Alternatively, a new garment teaches that they introduced shechidshu, matters that no ear had ever heard. They were so brilliant. What is taught by the phrase, and the two were alone in the field? Rav Yehuda says that Rav says it teaches that all the Torah scholars of that generation seemed, relative to them, like grass of the field, as they were wiser than all of them. And there are those who say it teaches that all the rationales of the Torah were revealed to them like a field that is exposed for all to see. So we're getting a sense of the rabbi's impression of Yeravam, who led this great rebellion and put up these two golden cows, that he was actually a great Torah scholar in the beginning. And Be'ezrat Hashem, if we ever finish Shmuel Bet, we'll move on to Malachim and learn more about that in depth. V'im kein yesh litmoah, eich adam gadol kaze yavo letachlit ha-kilkul. So if this is so, then we have to wonder, how could this a great man like this come to such a horrendous, failed purpose? Kakatuv, like it says, asher chet v'asher hichti et Yisrael. So I think this is in Malachim. I think that Sham is the last thing that was quoted. Yeah. So he sinned and he caused Israel to sin. So not only was he a sinner, but take it a notch above, he caused all of Israel to sin as well. V'amruzal, and the rabbis say, and let's read this in English from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The verse states, and after this matter, Yeravam returned not from his evil way. To what event is the verse alluding when it states, after this matter? Rabbi Abba says, it is after the Holy One, blessed be He, grabbed Yeravam by his garment. He sent prophets and implored him and said to him, repent, and you and I and the son of Yishai will stroll together in the Garden of Eden. Yeravam said to him, who will walk in the lead? Hashem said to Yeravam, the son of Yishai, David, will walk in the lead. Yeravam said, if so, I do not wish to repent. Okay, so that is the story of Yeravam, how he could have failed so poorly and come to not even repenting at all based on his own personal pride. Okay, and I'm not going to deal with that, so we're skipping a little. V'hainu ki ma'at dema'at ra b'shoresh yifra v'yirbe b'anafim l'machbir. So the Shem Yishmael is going to give an explanation that there was the slightest amount of ra, of evil, in Yeravam's root, which then spread, flowered and fruited and multiplied it to be in many, many branches of his tree. You can envision the metaphor. V'hine b'Yosef kativ. So now we're back to Yosef, because remember, this is all based on the Yosef story. V'yavo Yosef et dibatam ra'a el avihem. So we know from the pasuk in the Torah that Yosef would bring these bad tidings to their father. So Yosef would spend time with them, shepherding, and he would report back to his father, essentially lashon hara. Af dechas v'shalom lomar kipshuto, shetzadik yesod olam zed diber lashon hara, shemagdil averot yoter mi'avodat zara gilui areyot v'shfichat damim. So how can you say, chas v'shalom, that to say, kipshuto, as its simple meaning, that this tzaddik, the basis of the world, that he spoke lashon hara, that would grow into sins even more than the three major sins of idolatry, inappropriate sexual relationships, and murder? Okay, because that seems to be what we're saying, that this dibat ra'ah, this whatever he spoke about his brothers, then grew into Yeravam, causing all of Israel to sin. Aval kvar amanu lefareh shenidmelo she'achiv hayu nichshalim be'ela hadvarim. So the Shem Yishmael has already explained, I didn't read it, sorry, that it appeared to him that his brothers were failing in these areas. She'ahaya bedin she'yochiach otam. And he actually should have rebuked them himself in person. Ubevaday hayumar inlo ledat shehem nikayim mikumo ela lekayem vayitem nikayim mehashem umiyisrael nikiim. Sorry, nikiim. So then they would have shown him that they were actually clean from these things that Yosef was accusing them of, and that they were actually clean from Hashem and from Israel. So Rashi, I think it's Rashi, but more based on the Midrash, explains that Yosef perceived that they were doing these sins, like one of them would marry a mother and a daughter together. But according to their perception, when a mother and daughter convert, d'oraita, they're no longer related and it's actually permitted. Or that they were eating evar min hachai, a limb from a live animal, when in reality, for Jews, the law for limb from a live animal is could be while it's still walking literally like a chicken with its head cut off. That expression is actually true, in which case they're no longer really alive and you could eat the limbs from them. But Yosef, for the Shiva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, that B'nai Noach have a more machmir, stringent position on this and say while the chicken's still walking around with its head cut off or whatever it would be for a mammal, you can't eat from that animal. So it was this type of things that was going on that Yosef had the impression that they were doing bad things, but they could justify everything that they were doing. V'im lehipuch hayomodim lo v'hayu osim tshuva al ha'avar v'kabala al lehavo. And if it would have been the opposite, if Yosef would have rebuked them directly and they would have admitted to doing these sins, and then they would have done tshuva on the past and they would have received that they would never do it again to come. Ki had tzadikim libam b'rishutam el kol asher yichpatzu yitavu. So because the tzadikim, they're in the realm that whatever they desire, Hashem leads them. Achu lo hirhiv oz b'nafsho l'ochiach et achav hagdolim. But he couldn't get the courage to rebuke his older brothers. And here is that Kabbalah that I couldn't translate, I apologize. B'yesh lomar nami b'yosef ki hishtika v'hader hadibur b'makom sh'ra'ui l'daber nikshavu lo kepagam dibur ukeleshon hara ukemal mila bisha. So because he was quiet when he should have spoken, because he should have rebuked them directly, it's considered as a deficiency in speech, and it's like lashon hara, and it's even like saying an embarrassing thing, a bad thing. V'ze atzmo heviu lahavi debatom ra'a levihem b'poal mamash. And this is what led him to bring bad tidings or lashon hara to their father, actually. So he actually spoke it out loud to their father because a sin brings on a new sin. Even though when he told it to his father, he had no intention of saying lashon hara or anything, God forbid. His only intent was that their father would straighten them up. But for a great tzaddik like this, he should have overcome his shyness or whatever it was that was keeping him from rebuking his brothers directly. And it's considered a sin that he brought it to his father instead of doing what was appropriate and speaking to them directly. And it's considered like actual lashon hara. Ulefize Yeshlamar de Gamha de Kilkul Yaravam Lomi Menu Haya Ela Min Hakikul Hakadum Shel Yosef Hatzadik. So now back to our Shmuel Bet case. According to this, we can say that the destruction of Yaravam, the downfall of Yaravam, was not from him. It wasn't his fault, so to say. Rather, it was from the previous failure of Yosef the Tzaddik, shelaraglei malato nichshav lekilkul ve'arvera, because of his level, the level he was at, it's considered a failure and a sin. Ve'adayin lo nitkan legamrei ad asara harugei malchut ke'adua. And there's a tradition that the whole incidence of the sale of Yosef wasn't fixed until the 10 martyrs that we read about in Akina and Tisha B'Av. I think we also read about them on Yom Kippur. Am I right? So the 10 rabbis who were all burned at the stake or killed in various violent, horrible ways by the Romans. And that's when there was a complete tikkun, a fix of the brother selling of Yosef. Kilkul zeh hame'at shebeshoresh shehu inyan pirud v'hevdel. So this failure. I'm translating kilkul as failure. I'm not sure if it's completely accurate, but destruction, failure. So this very slight failure that is in its roots was a matter of separation and differentiation, right? Yosef distinguished himself from his brothers and separated them from it. So that was the root of this failure. Kamram Zal, as the rabbis say in Masachet Erachin, and this is actually from last week's Parsha. And here's the full English of it. And this you don't have in your sheets if you're following along in the original sheets, as I added. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nadav asked Rabbi Chanina, and some say that it was Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nadav, the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina, who asked of Rabbi Chanina, and some say that he asked it of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. What is different and notable about a leper, that's a mitzora from the Parsha, Tazriel Mitzora, that the Torah states he shall dwell alone outside of the camp shall be his dwelling. He replied, by speaking malicious speech, he's separated between husband and wife and between one person and another, right? Like if he said bad things about a husband to the wife, he's separating between them or between two friends. Therefore, he is punished with leprosy. And the Torah says, he shall dwell alone. And that is, it's Yashav Badad, which is very similar to an Echa with the destruction of the temple. Outside of the camp shall be his dwelling. Okay, para urva be'anafim. So this root of separation from the Lashon Hara that Yosef spoke, it was fruitful and multiplied in many branches. Ad shebi yeravam sheya mizera Yosef mashchehu lekilkul gamor. Until it came time for Yeravam, who was from the seed of Yosef, and it was drawn to this complete and utter failure. Upirud v'kitzutz v'nitiyutz, a complete separation and cutting off of the saplings. Kumo she'arich Rabbeinu Bachaya mi'inyan chet Yeravam. So apparently, and I didn't read it, I apologize, Rabbeinu Bachaya, who's very wordy, but he says really deep, profound things. He is a super commentary on Ramban, in addition to being a commentary on the Torah in his own right. And he says in Vayetze, which is all about Yaakov, when Yosef is born, from the matter of the sin of Yeravam. Ve'af shechet bebechirato hara. So now, you may be troubled right now, thinking that maybe Yeravam had no free will, and he shouldn't be punished, because it seems like it was fated, almost, that he should do this. So the Shem Mishmo is going to address that. So the chet, the sin, was actually from his own choosing of ra, of evil. Deim lo hachi lo haya lav onesh, because if he had been fated and it was out of control, he wouldn't have been punished. But he did have a choice. Ki haschar v'ha onesh tluyim bebechira, because all reward and punishment is dependent on choice. Mikol makom kvar nistalka hashmira ha'elyona shavalglei chasidav yishmor v'lo yona letzadik kol avon. So somehow Hashem removed his higher guarding on the feet of the chasidim that would guard. And then this is a pasuk from Mishlei: no wrong shall be caused for the righteous, but the wicked are full of evil. V'haya hachet shebeshoresh. So this sin that was in Yeravam's root, Moshecho Tolara, it drew him to doing evil. V'shuv ein teima masha adam gadol kamohu nilkad bepeza. And there's no wonder how a great man like him could be trapped bepachze, trapped in this snare. Okay, so throughout it all, Yeravam did have free will. I guess he's kind of saying he didn't have hashkacha from Hashem to guard him from making these bad choices. So he's completely left to his own devices. And that root of evil that was in him drew him to make these really bad decisions. Okay, so that's how we get from Yosef to Yeravam. Okay? V'hine inyan shtika b'makom ha'ra'ui. And this same matter of being quiet when you should have hara'ui lamalala, when you should have talked. Malalala, you may know, if you know that song, Mi Yamalel Gvurot Yisrael, who can retell the things that befell? So Malala is there. It's also in Bereshit, it's very interesting when man is called Nefesh Chaya, a living soul, which every other animal is also called. Targum Onkelos in Aramaic says Nefesh Malala. I think that's where it is. So a speaking soul, because that's really what differentiates man from beast is our ability to speak. And here, this matter of being quiet when you're supposed to speak. Shenichshav lepagam hadabor, which is seen as a deficiency in speech. Matzinu nami biYehuda. We also find this in Yehuda. Shehoriduhu echav migdulato, because he was brought down by his brothers from his greatness. Kishera'u b'tzarat avihem, when he saw the pain of their father after Yosef had been sold and Yaakov thought he was dead. Amru, the brother said, Ata amarta lemachro, you're the ones who said to sell him. Ilo amarta lehashivo el aviv, hainu shomim lecha. If you had told us to simply return him to our father, we would have listened to you. You had this opportunity of leadership and you used it in the wrong way. Rashi brings this down. Ulechora ena muvan makusha haita lehem alav yoter mealatam. And at first glance, it's difficult to see why would they have this complaint against Yehuda. They should have all been complaining against themselves that they failed to think of this. V'nimru inhu l'nafshaihu shechashvu shiyamot tachtav bebor bera'av ubetzame. So they said to themselves that they thought that he would die underneath them in the pit from hunger and from thirst. So they would have just let him die in that moment. And here Yehuda offers this new idea to sell him. And if only he had offered the idea of bringing him back. Af lefi darkenu, yuvnu hadvarim sheshtika b'makom haru'i ledavar nichshavet pagam hadibur. So according to our way, it's understandable that being quiet in place of when it would have been fitting to speak is considered a great deficiency of speech. Kamo lashon hara, and it's considered like lashon hara, shemavdil mafrid bein ish l'reihu, that distinguishes and separates between people. Ubaasher tuudat hamelech ki leached ulechaber et ha'am, and since the whole point of a king is to unite and bring together the nation, ve'alken nikra melech b'shem otzar, and that's why the king is called an otzar, which means like a treasury, but I think it also has a connotation of everything gathered together. And this is from Shmuel Aleph Tet. This one will rule over my people. Ze ya'atzor ba'ami. So he'll bring them together. Hine zehu hipuch midat hamalucha. What Yehuda did was the opposite of this character attribute of the kingship. Ba'al kein horidu et Yehuda migdulato. And therefore Yehuda went down. They brought Yehuda down from his greatness. Ba'asher chashvuhu lepogam b'midat hamalucha. Because he thought to bring this deficiency into the attribute of the kingship. And as the Mefarshim bring up, and they said in the Gemara about Shaul, and here's in English, Shaul failed, and I don't think you might have that in yours, I'm not sure. Shaul failed with one single sin, and it was counted against him, costing him the throne. David, however, failed with two sins, and they were not counted against him as he retained his position. Kichet Shaul haya b'inyan hamlucha, because the sin of Shaul was actually in the matter of his kingship. Ubasher pagam b'malucha nistalkal mimenu hamlucha. And since he hurt the kingship was removed from him. Aval chet'o shel David lo nichshav l'chet b'inyan malucha. But the sin of David, which was with Bathsheba, was not considered a sin in the matter of the kingship. Al kein dai hayalo onesh acher. Therefore, a different punishment was enough for him. Kein nami ba'asher chashvu leYehuda pogim b'inyan hamelucha. Al kein horiduhu migdulato. And it's the same thing that what Yehuda did was actually harming the matter of melucha, and therefore he was brought down from his greatness. And so now the matter of Rav saying that David accepted Lashon Hara, and Shmuel saying he didn't. And here it is in English. So Gemara asks, and didn't David commit other sins? Didn't Rav say David accepted a slanderous report from Ziva about Mephibosheth, son of Yonatan, stating that the latter was pleased with David's downfall? There was, in that case, this additional sin. The Gemara responds, consequently, it is necessary to follow the approach of Shmuel, who said David did not accept a slanderous report because Ziva's claim was true. So you can see how they're taking both of these approaches of Rav and Shmuel where it's necessary. So when it comes to separating the kingship between Yeravam and Rechavam, we're saying that he did accept Lashon Hara, but when we're explaining how David managed to stay in power and give it over to his sons, we're saying he didn't accept Lashon Hara. Okay. V'lefi ha'amor yesh lefaresh ha'plugta derav u'shmuel. Echad kibel David Lashon Hara. Derav v'shmuel amar kibel David Lashon Hara. And so according to the one that explains the argument of Rav and Shmuel, that he accepted Lashon Hara, de'ele ve'ele divrei Elohim chayim. How can we say that these are both the words of the living God? De'kamo she'amarnu le'el b'inyan Yosef, de'mikilko mu'at b'shoresh para u'ra b'anafim. So just like we said in the matter of Yosef, that his slight minor failure in his root was then fruitful and multiplied to many branches, v'zema shach et Yeravam l'chait, and it drew Yeravam to sin. Kenami yesh lomar b'inyan Yehuda. We can say the same thing in the matter of Yehuda. Sheshtikato shel Yehuda b'mkom harui ledaber, that Yehuda's silence in the time when it would have been fitting to speak, garma l'David ha-melech alav ha-shalom, limshoch oto l'kabel lashon hara. So that caused David HaMelech to be drawn to accept Lashon Hara. Avalo mimenu haya lekabel Lashon Hara. But it wasn't from him, from David HaMelech himself, that he received Lashon Hara. Ki haya ish merkava v'libo chalal b'kirbo. Because he was a man who was considered a chariot. He was driven by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his heart was empty inside of him, meaning he had no Yetzer Hara. V'lo haya utad af l'shkaga kala. And he wasn't meant in the future to even do a light accidental sin. Afila shera'a b'mifivoshet tevarim nikarim kibishas sham. Even if you would say that he recognized these things in mifivoshet, like it says in the Gemara, ela machmat me'at de'ma'at habagam shebishoresh. It was just this tiny, tiny imperfection that was in his root. Dehainu Yehuda. That was from Yeshua, and when he was brought down from his greatness, this is what drew him to this slight, not on purpose, sin, to receive this Lashon Hara Mitziva. V'imkein, mar damar lo kibel David Lashon Hara, diber mimahut David HaMelech alav hashalom b'atmo. So when Shmuel says that David did not receive the Lashon Hara, he's speaking about David HaMelech independent of his ancestral past, of him himself. Umar Damar kibel David Lashon Hara midvar migaram habagam b'shoresh. And Rav, who's saying he did receive Lashon Hara, is speaking about this teeny tiny imperfection in his soul that caused him to do it. Umikomakom nikeret maalat David HaMelech alav shalom mima she'anu ro'im b'Yeravam dema'at dema'at pagam shebeshoresh heviu lechatim gedolim me'od. So we can recognize the greatness of David HaMelech that we see in Yeravam, that this teeny tiny imperfection in the root brought him to these great, great sins and transgressions. And a sin causes another sin that is even more greater than it, than the original sin. Aval, b'David HaMelech alav Hashem, lo hayta b'yecholet ha'amshacha, machamat ha'pagam shebeshoresh l'mshechehu. So David, because of his greatness, couldn't fail in the same way that Yeravam failed. He couldn't be drawn to that extreme based on this tiny imperfection that was in his root. Ela l'shgaga kala. All it could cause him to do was this accidental light sin, kizosha kibel lashon hara achar dechazi shnei devarim nikarim, that he would accept this lashon hara after he saw two recognizable things that allowed him to accept it, v'nikar yitron or min hachoshech. And now we can recognize the benefit of light over darkness. So you see, when you have a personality primed for taking on the mistakes of his ancestors, it can lead all the way to Yaravam. But when you see a personality that's worked on himself and is not primed in that way, it will lead only to a small accidental sin. Okay, last paragraph. L'fi amor, yuvan hada amruzal. So based on what we said, it's now clear what the rabbi said. B'sha'a she'amar David l'mefivoshet ata v'tziva techalku et hasadeh, yatzta bat kol ve'amra lo rechavam v'yaravam yechalku et hamalucha. So when David said to Mephibosheth, you and Tziva will divide the field, this bat kol came out and said, rechavam and yaravam will divide the kingship. V'hainu dekol atzmo shelo haya hamelech harishon mizera Yosef, haya machmat hapagam shebeshoresh. So the entire reason why the first king of Israel was not from the seed of Yosef was because of this tiny imperfection in the root. So Yosef sort of forewent his seed being able to be the first king because of his imperfection of Lashon Hara. Alkei nitla melucha mizera Yosef v'nitna lezera Binyamin. And therefore the kingship was given from the seed of Yosef to the seed of Binyamin. U'ba'asher Sha'ul ibed hamelucha, but when Sha'ul lost the kingship, Nispagam chalek melucha zola David. Then this portion of the kingship was also given to David. Aval kasher pa'al al David habagam shebeshor shoat shamar atavetziva techalku atasadeh. But when this slight imperfection in the root of David was taken into action, that he said to Tziva, "You'll split the field." Shuv ein lo mala binyan ze al zera Yosef. He lost his advantage over the seed of Yosef. And therefore, that portion of the kingship that had gone to the children of Binyamin, to David, was now returned back to the seed of Yosef. And since we hadn't yet reached the ultimate fixing that in the future, Yehuda and Yosef would be like one man and two. V'shnei Mashiachim yu ki'ish echad, and the two Mashiachs would be like one man, v'sara kinat Ephraim, and he's quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu that is so beautiful. It's one of the Haftorahs, I forgot when, but a significant time. And the envy of Ephraim shall cease, and the adversaries of Yehuda shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda, nor shall Yehuda vex Ephraim. V'lo haya zera Yosef tachat meluchat Zera David, and the seed of Yosef won't be underneath the seed of the kingship of David. Alkein nitchalka l'shtei mamlechot l'gamrei. Therefore, because it was before all this time and we didn't have this messianic perfection, therefore it was divided into two completely different kingships. V'rechavam v'yaravam yichalku et hamelucha. Yaravam Rechavam had to completely split the kingship. Can you imagine two Jewish states? It's crazy. U'ba'asher ha'bechira choshit nimshach Yeravam l'tachlit ha'kilkul b'roa b'chirato. And because of free choice, Yeravam was drawn to this failure of his purpose and the evil of his choice. V'kein nirali ad eight kates shi'atukan kol ha'kikul shenimshach m'michirat Yosef. And it appears to me that until the time where it's the end and all of this selling of Yosef is completely fixed, O yofio bolam shnei ha-mashichim, or the two mashichim will appear, and then we will be able to get over all of this. Okay, so that was a lot. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you found it worth it to go through that whole thing. I think if you like Chassidus, it was really nice. If you don't like Chassidus, I imagine that could have been really annoying. But I really liked how he saw the roots of all these different behaviors that when you just read them in Shmuel Bet really are very perplexing and don't make a lot of sense. But if you see them within the context of the total history of Bnei Yisrael, starting with Yosef and Yehuda, then you can see that some of it makes sense and you can see how it can lead to all these things. And please God, Mashiach ben Yosef will lead into the period of Mashiach ben David very soon in a perfected state, and that all of Bnei Israel will have ahavat chinam, free love for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.